Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. It must be Wednesday night. This is co-producer, about to start the premiere podcast, The Attic. Weekly, we get together and give you Patterson's Own. The Attic is comprised of co-producer, the messenger, baby sister, baby brother, Nurse Carmen, Sister Pearl, and from Florida, Sister Sunshine. Hey, listen, sit back, relax, prepare to be entertained. And just in case you're wondering, that smooth beat you hear in the background, it cannot be duplicated or imitated. You gotta come to Ohio to get that. And when you get here, you gotta see AKA the menu. Let's get ready for the show. Good evening. This is co-producer here with another broadcast episode of The Attic. Slowly but surely becoming the top podcast on Blog Talk Radio. It's a Haj production. And again, I've got The Attic, which means I've got all my brothers and sisters with me. We like to get together weekly and give you our point of view or our take on certain topics and situations. Let me check in and make sure I'm fully armed and I got my whole crew with me. Hey, how we doing? It's Brother Messenger. You with me tonight?
Yes, I am, my brother.
All right. So we got the shield just in case shit get rough. Baby girl, you with us tonight?
I'm here, my brother.
Okay, so we got the technical shit on lock. So we got the shield. We got the technical shit on lock. Let me go to baby bro. You with me tonight?
Present. I'm here.
So we got all things pumping on the universe. Who am I? Nurse Carmen, are you with us tonight?
Yes, I am. Hello,
okay.
Everyone.
Hey.
Hello.
So with all that being said, before we get into what we're going to talk about this evening, I have to do a quick shout out to my baby girl, Airman Julia, Tech Sergeant, Master Chief Sergeant, some kind of rank in the Air Force, who's overseas, and today is her birthday. And I told her that Dad and the fam and the crew was going to make sure we did a nice little shout out. So I couldn't get with everybody today. So what I did was I flew out to the studio with Stevie Wonder, and me and Stevie Wonder did a little stuff here for my baby girl. So we go play it on the show tonight. Happy birthday, Juju. Hey, listen, I wanted to take a little time out of tonight's podcast and send a shout out over across the water to my daughter who's in the United States Air Force doing big things. I just want you to know, Daddy loves you, baby, and you know that. From the crew of The Attic, we want to wish Julia Hodge a outstanding birthday. From the crew, we love you, Julia.
Amen.
Now that we got that out the way, let's talk about some other crazy shit. You know, in today's society, you know, it's already set up that only so many black people won't be allowed to get to the top at any particular time. But what do you think about these black folks
who just out here doing some crazy shit. I mean, shit that just don't kind of make a whole lot of sense. Tonight, you know, all week we've been pondering this topic. And for some reason, we got a list of folks that we're going to talk about some shit they did. And then, you know, as a crew, we want to look back and say, do we accept them back? So the folks who made our list tonight was Kanye West, Aura Kelly, Omarosa, Ray Rice, Michael Vick, and that dancer nigga Chris Brown. Yeah, because the nigga can dance. But anyway, from a list of names, he bad with it. He moved like he moved now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, Michael Jackson ain't had shit on him. Mike like the kids. Chris be little ass, but they could both dance. The point I was just trying to make.
Wow.
But here we go. You know what? Let's start off with my man Kanyeezy for a second. Here we got Chicago's finest. I've been laying down hard rap lyrics. Hard rap lyrics. Him and Jigga get together. They do some multi-million dollar type shit. And then he went south somewhere. Somewhere he got lost, man. I just read a little thing. They wrote the New York Times did an article on him. And it said early afternoon last year, Kanye walked into the living room of his California home and found Tony Roberts. You know Tony Roberts, this big motherfucker, right? Waiting for him. It had been about 6 months since the rapper, producer, fashion designer, and cultural firestarter had gone through some of the most taxing periods of his public life. His wife was robbed at gunpoint. He had a series of erratic concert appearances. So, in other words, they tried to put a little shade up for that shit that nigga did. But now let me ask you, after he went and sold out hard, I mean, he was all in on kissing Donald Trump ass. How do you feel about Kanye coming back to the community?
I say no love. That was his second time. His second strike was me. The first one was when he did he spoke about slavery on TMZ. Does anybody recall that?
He said it was a choice.
Correct. I mean, but everything he said was complete nonsense. And again, and he shouldn't have even said anything like that. Like, who would choose to be a slave? So that's just crazy. So that was your first time. And then here we go again with you in the White House with Trump again. You know, I understand, you know, he don't take his meds and then things go left. But you have to be accountable for some of that nonsense that you be saying and doing. Because every time you open your mouth, you set us back. So take your meds, go somewhere, get your mind right. But as far as I'm concerned, I can forgive, but you can't forget. You just can't, because that kind of stuff is damaging to our people when you stand up and say that crazy stuff like that. But that's just my opinion.
So you're saying ain't no love for Kanye?
You can send him a plate from the cookout, but I don't think you need to be inviting him to the cookout.
Let him come to the cookout. That may mean no harm.
Okay. Nah, he got to be accountable for that stuff. And then he doesn't even come back. He don't even come back and correct it, even after he says that type of nonsense.
Yeah, but no, he came back. He gave a little paper to the Democratic Party. I guess, you know, again, that's the way we've been trained. You fuck up. You got enough money. You can buy your way back. He threw a couple hundred G's to the Democratic Party.
But the whole scene of him in the White House and you say and you hugging Trump and saying that that's your hero and he like a father figure to you. I mean, all that type of nonsense. Whatever you gave to the Democrat, that stuff can't even compare to the damage that you did and all of the media coverage that was given when you came to the White House with that nonsense is what I'm talking about.
No, trust me, I feel you. I feel you because that was some crazy shit he did. But, you know, again, everybody entitled to their opinion, even if it's a silly ass one.
Right.
You know, everybody got their opinion.
Right.
That was just crazy that slavery was a choice. That ain't no opinion. That's crazy. That's just crazy.
Well,
who wants to be a slave?
Nobody wants to be a slave, but you do. I mean, you know, and don't y'all call me crazy, but you do have a choice. If you really,
we had a choice.
That
we had a choice to be a slave, or we didn't have no choice back then. There was no
choice. You had a choice. Get your ass in that field, or get your ass in that grave. I mean, that, you know,
exactly.
That
and that ain't, and from where I'm sitting, that ain't much of a choice.
But it's a choice.
That don't fit into my definition of choice. But I hear you, though.
But, yeah,
but you know,
mine either. Mine either.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But
it might not be a good choice, but it's a choice.
Right, yeah. That don't fit in. But then somebody could turn around and tell you, if you don't go to church Sunday morning, you're going to hell. That's a choice.
But that's two different things. We're talking two different things here now. You know, that ain't no life and death type of shit. I mean, this is literally, if you wasn't a slave, you stood to be lynched or hung or just, you know, like I said, that was a death.
All I can say about that,
you don't go to church, you're going there.
The choice of hell is some bullshit. The choice of your ass dying, oh, that's pretty real, man. That's pretty real.
Thank you. That's all I'm saying.
Some people made that choice to die. When they told them to do something, if they didn't do it, they knew their options. Either I'm going to do it or I'm not going to do it. I'm going to get whipped and possibly shot or hung. But this is a choice I'm making.
Overall, everybody wasn't making that choice. That takes a special type of person that's going to make that type of choice. Overall,
and
everybody wasn't making that choice.
Some of them did that. That was their choice.
All right.
What you're saying, but some people did make that choice to not do or move, you know what I'm saying? And
it's a hell of a choice.
Yeah, it was a choice. Regardless of the outcome, it was a choice.
Okay, since we talk about making choices, let's talk about the choice to choose a grown ass woman or a little girl. let's talk about that choice. Let's choose between a grown ass woman or we want some little girl. So,
some people, temptation is a motherfucker.
With that kind of a lead in. Pretty much, we only talk about one Joker, y'all. All right? Let's talk about my man R. Let's talk about my man R, yo. R. Kelly, here goes his lead-in paragraph. R. Kelly's 25-year career has been defined by two consistencies: allegations of sexual misconduct involving underage women and a succession of hits. So they say the hits that he made insulated the R&B superstar from the legal repercussions of these claims. Now, to me, that's just a sad point in somebody's life that you a grown ass man, and you got paper, so it ain't an issue of availability. But you ain't happy, excuse me, unless you got your little underage little girl. Now I can't get to that R. I mean, again, I don't know for certain because I don't know what kind of investigation, what they did, but it sounds pretty much like that's how you living right now. And I just can't get with that at all. Sorry. So when you talk about coming back, I don't know, kid. I would probably let Kanye back before I let R back. That's just me.
So you don't believe he can fly?
Huh?
You don't believe he can fly?
Hey. I still listen to his music because, as Dave Chappelle said, you can't deny the music, man. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, his sentence would be, if I was a judge, nigga, you can never leave the studio and you can't have no company. Because when you in the studio, you putting out hits, man. You putting out hits on top of hits on top of hits. But when you get outside that studio, you know, hey, you looking for the first little elementary school you can find.
Well, are you ain't stepping in the name of love no more? You done? You done stepping in the name of love?
Yeah, I can't even step no more. I can't step no more.
Okay.
But let me ask this, because I don't really follow it, so I'm not sure. But let me ask this. How many of the younger girls actually complained about it?
That don't matter, man.
Watch this.
They getting them Gucci sneakers and shit. They good. But I'm just saying, now, again, you know, I see where you're going, but not the night messenger. All right, not tonight. I see where you're going.
And here's the thing. The girls wasn't complaining. It was their parents. Once that money dried up, then they had a problem with that. See, weren't the girls minors?
Weren't they all minors anyway?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what.
All right. But see, that's just, you got to look at it like this. In the Western civilization, yeah, we frown upon that, but in Thailand, shit like that, that's banging. You can do that.
I think he's a manipulator.
I think, you know, he played on the fact that a lot of these girls were young and, you know, immature, and you manipulated a lot of the situation with them.
Well, he ain't doing nothing to my daughters, and I ain't got no daughters though. But I just think he's in the wrong. He's in the wrong place at the wrong time. So you need to take that to Thailand where you can do that.
Yo, man, he sent limousines to go pick these people up. He get them to the right place. Yo, man.
If a limousine came to your house and your daughter was going to get into it, you wouldn't ask no questions to get to the bottom of where she's going and who's in the limousine.
Okay, I hear you. That's some grown man shit right there. But you know what, though? Watch this. How many parents are so busy still trying to get their thing on, get their party on? They ain't paying attention to their kids like that.
And I know it ain't right.
I know it ain't right, but that's what it is.
Yeah.
How many young ladies out there with men like that, and they ain't got the money to take care of them like R. Kelly, but they still with them?
No. I'm not saying it's wrong because R did it. I'm just saying that shit is wrong on all levels. I don't care who did that. Watch it. If Barack Obama did some shit like that, he ain't my favorite no more. I'm just saying it's wrong on all levels. Because when you pick up them little young girls like that, now don't get me wrong, that ain't the first grown man them little girls been with. You know what I'm saying? But now, you're right. They go home, and I'm not trying to minimize this by any stretch of the imagination. But now they go home, they got some new Jordans, they got a Gucci purse and some money in their pocket. So you're right. They probably been doing that. They just hooked up with somebody that while they doing it, gonna break them off proper. But I'm just saying, because of the age of them, I feel it's wrong. Now that's all Western civilization in me, but I feel it's wrong for that reason.
I'm not agreeing with it. I'm just saying it's just something that now, because if you look at them, not one of them girls was 11, 12, 13. I mean, if they was 13, I don't know the real age, so I'm just kind of using a general view of stuff. These girls, and not only there but everywhere, that's when they kind of start doing what they do around that age. How many girls, 13, 14 years old, having kids? You know what I mean? So the point that I'm making is it's something that we, quote, unquote, don't like, but it's something that's been happening since the beginning of time. It only became an issue, as Baby Brother said, in this civilization. But this is the way it's been forever. We just set it up that now it's bad.
Isn't it some states you can get married when you're like 16?
But there's some states with parent consent you can get married at 11.
Hey, wait a minute. Who was that young star that he married and her father said he'll beat that ass?
Aaliyah. It was Aaliyah.
Yeah, so I mean, he just again, that's what he like, and that's all he do. Me personally, and this is a personal opinion, and I hope a whole lot of people share it with me. I just don't see a grown man just want to gravitate to younger adolescent people like that. I just don't see that. Again, everybody got their fetishes, and I know we could probably name some other wild shit that people do that probably ain't half as bad as that, but that's what it is. So, and let me just read this.
Let me just read this real quick, though, but you could run up on some younger girls, and honestly, if they tell you their age, you wouldn't know how old they was.
Yo, let me transition before nobody want to listen to the messenger no more. let me transition before we lose our messenger audience, man. Well, messenger said, now some of the girls be banging them. No, I do get it. And again, let me tell you something. Again, if you see a picture of those girls and if they was able to sneak into a club, I ain't gonna lie, man. The average person would probably push up on them because they wasn't, you know, they wasn't like in your mind. You think of a little 15, 16 year old chick, girl. They wasn't like them average. They, you know, they was kind of
right,
kind of healthy women. I'm trying to put it.
They were well developed.
That's all I'm
saying. Some people like the cows. Some people like the calf. Some people, in other words, some people like steak. Some people like veal. Ain't veal that young calf?
Yeah.
Lamb.
But I'm just saying. But let me close out with this right here on R. Kelly. The bottom line is that R. Kelly and his victims are the perfect storm of people we don't care about. Activist Kenyatta Tisha Barnes, who stated that the hashtag Mute R. Kelly campaign last year, recently told BuzzFeed, "We protect problematic black men in the black community, and we discard black girls in all communities." Now, that was an article written, and again, it just goes to show that even though it's foul, again, because he was the star that he is, it got a lot of notoriety. They saying the reason R. Kelly can continue on doing what he's doing is because, one, he putting the hits out. So you could disrespect them little girls. Again, somebody in America made this decision. You could disrespect them little girls as long as you banging out hits. As long as the hits keep coming, we're going to turn a blind eye to that little adolescent bullshit that you always involved in.
I don't think that's the case. I ain't got nothing to do with it. Well, I mean, as far as with the hits, that means he's getting money, and with that money, he can pay off the parents.
Okay.
So if he ain't making no money and paying off them parents, then yeah, you can't go and take no white girl, I guarantee you, and do what he was doing. I mean, not unless their mother was on drugs or something like that, but no matter how you shake it, he's still going to have to pay them. He got to put some, if you want to call it that, hush money in their hand.
Yeah. Well, anytime you got a 14-year-old girl running around with grown men, parents might not be on drugs, but they way too busy to do this thing we call parenting.
Well, 9 times out of 10, it's unfortunate. If they're black, the mom and daddy ain't together. It's just the mama.
Oh, wow.
And she kind of really brought us some money anyway.
Yes, he did.
She got a revolving door of men coming through her house.
You're a mess.
You're the black race.
There are some parents that are doing all the parenting, and it still ain't stopping them. They're still doing what they want to do.
But it's more so the mom and daddy ain't together.
Okay.
Well, let me just say this before you move on, Ken. Allegedly, with R. Kelly, he was molested by his, I think, a family member. I think they're saying a sister or something. So, you know, not that, you know, excuses anything that he's doing, but clearly he got a problem that needs to be addressed. He needs to be somewhere, you know, speaking to somebody and getting himself and getting his mind right. He needs to be taking his meds.
You know what? I mean, again, I speak about it for entertainment purposes, but if we were to get real serious, and again, when he came out with that story, to people who really don't follow illnesses and mental illnesses and rape, and I'm putting all that in one big category right now, the shit that it really sends people through, unless you went through that, You can never understand that. You can never understand that. So, again, only because of the way I think, damn you, R. Kelly, for that. I'm just saying that. Or maybe what his crew should have did, right? I mean, if his crew was really trying to help him, they should have went and got some 19, 20-year-old girls and got them some fake IDs and told, oh, here, man, they 14. And then everybody could have been good, man. I mean, his crew could have helped him out a little bit. They get everybody fake IDs.
Sometimes when you want some type of beef, you don't want that old cow. You want that young
what
veal.
What is this guy talking about?
That young veal is nice and tender. It's tender. You know what I'm saying? Veal is like a virgin veal. And that's what he was looking for.
That's what he's looking for. All right. But, but we can move back.
Leave it alone, man. Leave it alone.
Yeah. But listen to this, though. Now, we talk about people who did crazy shit, but let's talk about Omarosa. Now, here's a lady who, again, turned on the black community, hanging out with the Donald. Now, again, don't get me wrong. I'm just going to imagine, only because we talk about the Donald and not the president. We're talking about the Donald. I'm sure they done did some shit together that she ain't yet exposed. Because if Donald Trump out there paying money for ass, and I'm talking about hit you off with $30,000, $300,000 hush money checks, I'm sure him and Omarosa done did some things together as much time as they say they spent together. But when she turned on that ass, yo, in the White House, now she coming back looking for a strong black base to support her as she attacks him. What are your feelings on that? Should we support her?
But you got to look at it like this. How many black people, if you want to call it that, made it, you know what I'm saying, as far as making that money and socializing with, like, in other words, once you got out of the hood, did you really come back or would you really come back? The only time you come back is when something goes wrong in your life. Then you turn
I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about she had an opportunity to have a seat at the table where she could have represented us as a black people.
And
she failed. And she failed to do so.
And do what? She's Omarosa. What's she going to do?
Well, that was the title he gave her. She was supposed to be the ambassador or something to whatever that title was. It just consisted of her dealing with her people. And she has nothing to show for that. While the short term that she was there, it was all self-serving. She did nothing for her people.
Yeah, I don't know.
Nothing.
I'm just saying, I don't know about y'all, but to me, she wasn't a gateway
No, she wasn't. But what I'm saying is she had a seat at the table and had an opportunity to do something with it, and she did nothing.
No.
See, that's
because he fired you, you want love. You want that black love back. You know, you writing books.
That's the misconception.
And you want black. You want everybody
that's
to embrace you again.
Yeah. That's a misconception. What? You have been to a seat at the table, but she had a seat at the table, but she had no kind of power whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was just
but the
so
title. You're missing what I'm saying. She was given. Wait a minute. I disagree with that. Because she could have done something with the title that she was given. She didn't even reach out to any of the communities, you know, and that was a part of what her job was supposed to be. So she didn't even do that.
Trump, she knew
that's
Trump
why when that man
knew,
came in,
reaching out wasn't
Kelly,
gonna do no
when,
good.
When Kelly came
so then
in,
she
that's
sold,
why
so then she sold
her.
Out. So then she sold out. So then you took a job that you knew you wasn't gonna never really be able to fulfill to its potential.
Okay.
So you sold out.
And what's wrong with that?
What's right
okay.
with it?
See,
getting paid, showing up to and you ain't got to show up to a job.
Well, you see where it got her, right? Where she literally got dragged out the White House, literally.
Yeah,
so that's where it ended up getting you.
This is what happens now.
Okay.
When she came back or she got her job at the table, you got to remember something. When she got the position, you got to understand, she didn't get a position. She got a job that she was told, if you take this job, this is what you're going to do. I really don't care what you think. Or what concerns
that's
you
right.
have.
Right.
You are here.
Yeah.
When I When I say
so, then she sold out. So then she sold out. That's all I'm saying. Just say that. That's what she did. That's what she did.
Right.
I mean, let's just tell the truth here. She sold out.
The point of the matter.
I mean, Nurse Carmen, would you agree with that?
I agree. Yeah.
That's pretty much what she did.
She was supposed to be a liaison. The White House liaison.
You wouldn't have been able to do anything.
Exactly. And it was,
you,
I think it was
so
supposed to be to the African communities,
right?
When
you took the job, why take the job? You knew that.
Because exactly.
She got paid. Hold on, hold on, okay. Listen to this.
Okay.
You can't sell out if you was never in. Now, she can't sell out because she was never in. She been with the Donald so long that she forgot who she was. And when you see the story of her life, the shit she went through, she caught a break. Her break wasn't about trying to educate, trying to uplift anybody of color. She kind of made it clear, my break is I'm going to get what I can get.
That's what I'm saying.
She was like never in for us to say she sold out. That's all.
Okay, so then she was never in. Then don't even look for the love to be. So don't even look for that embrace now. Don't.
I mean,
pretty much. That's how I see it.
Is it because she got somewhere we couldn't get? Why?
Not at all. Not at all. Because to me, that's hating. And that's something I don't do. I'm talking about he just made the statement about her never being in. So then if you were never in, then now that you got kicked out of the White House, why look for that black love embrace? He just said she was never really in. So continue doing you.
That's because she's trying to make money and sell her book.
Right.
She wants to sell her book.
So again, so continue doing you. Don't even look for your brothers and sisters to embrace you because he just said you were never in.
She was never in as no quote unquote leader. She was just a black person.
Oh no, nobody looked at you for leader. I'm just saying you had a chance to do something effective and you didn't.
And if you took the job knowing that you weren't going to be able to, then again, like he said, you were never in. That's right. That's right.
So don't look for us. Don't look for it. Is all I'm saying.
She was looking for some startup money. She got it, and she going on about her business now. It's all about money.
That's fine.
Here's the history.
Here's the history of black folks
in America. Okay, we're gonna go one at a time, man. Go ahead, brother. Message.
I'm just trying to get us to see it from a different point. Not that we, because think about all of the people that got a job. Let's use something local. As a fish guy, okay? Let's say you got a job as a fish guy, and then the black person come by and they want some fish and you can't hook them up. Then they looking at me like I sold out because I ain't gave them no fish.
You know you got to hook the brothers up. Come on now. That's part of the job.
See what I'm saying? And if I don't get them some whiteys on Friday, then I'm a sellout because I didn't get them no fish because my boss wasn't giving them no fish.
I disagree with that because that's not your job to hook anybody up. That was what her job title. She was a liaison. So your job ain't to hook anybody up. That would just be something that you're doing out of the goodness of your heart for your people.
Right.
That was her job title. She was a liaison. So there's a difference there, bruh. So I beg to differ on that.
She was a liaison to do what? To do what?
To reach out to the different communities, black communities, correct, Nurse? Nurse Carmen, is that not
right? The White House to the black community,
right? Reach out, exactly. That's what her position was.
She had to figure out what she needed to do.
Right.
But you said it's her job to reach out. It was to reach out for what?
They want to come back, y'all.
It was her job to figure that out. She's a smart woman. You see she's doing what she's doing. She wasn't a stupid woman when she took the job.
She had no power.
Exactly, Nurse Carmen, exactly.
We get ready to transition.
We transition and we roll it, y'all. Because, see, I had to bring I got to go get Petey Green. Petey Green got to come back out here and slow everything down right now. So, hey, the next person. the next person up on the chopping block is my man, Mike Vick. Yeah, we reached way back in the day on Mike Vick. Now, let me tell you something. I don't even know how Mike Vick kind of made the list, because Mike just got railroaded from a bunch of different ways. And again, I think he stayed in the community. I think he never left. That brother went to jail for fighting some damn dogs, man. Do you hear what I said to you? They put that brother in jail over some fucking dogs, man. Now, I'm sorry. I love dogs. Like I said, I got my little dog. I can put him in my pocket. I keep them manicured. So I love dogs. Now, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, for fighting dogs, that brother did time. And because, and this going to sound, I guess, actually it sound kind of gangster. Because he kept his mouth shut and just took the bid that they gave him, when he got out of jail, they welcomed him back to the NFL and put him back on the high payroll status.
I have nothing. I have nothing but love for Mike Vick. Really, I really don't. Because I mean, I know there's a lot of animal lovers out there, and that's how he got caught up in that. You know, but again, I agree to have gone to jail and did the time that he had to do for something like that. I think he got the short end of that. I would agree.
Now, a couple of not racist, but I'm going to say some racist names. A couple of white people got mad. Because that's one thing you don't do. You don't mess with animals. Even if you're doing a movie, if you see they got to run that disclaimer about how nothing, no animals and stuff like that was harmed. When, who was that, PETA and the ASPCA, when they get on you, and that's what happened. They came after him. So the NFL had to bow and make an example at Michael Vick, and that's what it did. You don't mess with animals.
But you know what, though? And again, I know some brothers who shot some other brothers that didn't get the time Michael Vick got. So, I'm not lying, man. I know some brothers who beat some other brothers' ass who didn't get the time that Michael Vick got. So when we say welcome, oh, you definitely can come back to the hood, to the community,
absolutely,
to the family.
Absolutely.
What, tell me society didn't grab that man nuts and squeeze him. Not only after he got part of his release to come back, was he now like what, one of the head spokesperson for the dog rights or some shit?
No, he can't own no dogs neither.
Wow.
They castrated.
No, so watch this. Whatever they did to Mike. But again, you know what though? You see, that could be a misconception. Now, and I know this might sound cruel. It might sound horrible, but if you fight dogs or you breed dogs, you'll understand what I'm saying. Because they were killing them dogs after they lost in fights, that don't mean you don't love dogs, man. Yeah. I mean, actually, now, from pit bull fight, you know, dog fighters, that dog is probably, I mean, again, now, if we already committed to fighting the dog, if that dog get beat so bad that he can't do anything but die or live in pain, when you take that dog out of his misery, are you doing a good thing or a bad thing? Now, let's not forget, to most people, fighting dogs to begin with is a bad thing. That's
now,
the
was
most
he
people.
Actually fighting them, or was it people that he had on his on his property or premises doing these dog fights? Was it actually him
wasn't
or his friends?
Wasn't it his cousin or something?
Or family members or something like that? Because they all turned on him, right?
Yeah. They turned on him. Yeah.
Well, they didn't so much turn on him. They just didn't take the heat. Watch this. It was his house. He bought the dog. He fed the dog. He paid them to take care of the dog.
His name, the property was his property, everything. Yeah.
I know that. But again, if you fight dogs, you fight dogs. It's okay for people to box but not fight dogs? And was the crime?
Yes. I know, I'm white people. I'm going to have a different perspective.
Go ahead. Well, tell me your perspective. He shouldn't have been fighting dogs?
No. People fighting people, they make their decision and they fight. Dogs don't make that decision.
No.
Those fights wasn't sanctioned.
What?
Those fights wasn't sanctioned. That's why they got mad at him.
Right, but I'm a boxer and you're a boxer and we box. We box. We decide that and we box.
Yeah, but if somebody ain't put that together, it's wrong.
What?
We just can't get out there in the street and fight.
No,
unless somebody put that together.
But
dogs don't wake up and go, hey, I want to be a boxer. I want to be a fighter. And off they go.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's animal cruelty?
I am saying that, yes.
Right, okay, so, okay.
Well, now, again,
okay, so how about bull riding? How about bull riding? Is that animal cruelty?
I think it, I do.
It all depends. Now, if society say we can fight these, or we can go to watch the matador stick swords in bulls so they can eat him later, that's cool. But if I fight some dogs, that's wrong. I mean, like I said, I don't fight dogs. In fact, I would never own a pit bull. Even Petey from the Little Rascals, I would never own a pit bull because I don't mess with them like that.
It's all about the owner. It's how you train your dog to act. And most importantly, you have some cultures like what? The Mexicans, they do cockfights. And when I say cockfights, I don't mean dick. Thank you very much. Is that illegal? I mean, like in their country, is that illegal? And they come here and they do it. They hold cockfight.
Again, I got a basic feeling. And don't get me wrong, nobody should be cruel to any animal, because the messenger teaches us that we're all one. But I'm sorry. I stand firm on the belief that I don't give a shit what you do to an animal. You should not have to go to jail. I don't care what it is. I don't care if you, and again, I don't care what it is to an animal. You should not have to go to jail. Now, I can see them finding the shit out of you, taking all you own. I can get with that. But for you to spend time in prison behind cruelty or anything to any animal, I just think that's crazy. That's just me.
And I think that if the punishment were applied equally across race and gender, that would be okay, but that it's not. That's my issue. If you and I got the same punishment, whatever it is, I'm cool. But if you get something different from what I get, that's my issue.
Okay. And I hear that.
Like that has been going on for plenty of years. I don't mean no 4 or 5. When actually you can even apply that to drug sentencing, whereas if a black man get caught with some crack cocaine, and all he did was added some baking soda to the cocaine, he doing life from prison. If a white man get caught with the same amount of just cocaine, he might get a fine and probation or a couple of years in jail.
And that's bullshit.
Yeah, but
hey,
that's the way it's been going down.
You know what?
Straighten that out real quick, because we got what's his name, Jared Kushner, Donald Trump's son-in-law or whatever. He's working on that.
Huh?
Jared Kushner.
Jared, yeah.
Yeah, he's working on prison reform.
Okay.
So
hey,
keep an eye out for that, the change.
Let's moonwalk our ass right into probably. One of the last people we'll talk about tonight, that dancing ass Chris Brown. let me tell you now, you know, can Chris come back? Just because, watch this, we let Ike back. So why Chris can't come back? Why Chris had a hard time coming back? Wait, we let Ike come back? But let me tell you though, and again, this is just my opinion, but from the stories that I read, leading up to that altercation, I'm just saying, I'm not saying he had a reason to beat her ass like that, but I'm saying if there was ever a reason to maybe shake somebody, I think she did all the right things to get that.
What you're saying is you don't condone it, but you understand.
Based on Chris's version of the story, I don't know what actually happened, but based on his version that Chris gave, if she did the kicking and the punching and scratching while I'm driving, then I could see pushing her off. I never see it's okay to hit a woman. I'm sorry. I don't care. Leave, yeah. But to hit her,
yeah,
no.
Because she had the demon bitch in her, and he was trying to beat it out of her. Sometimes females get that. In other words, what they do is they push you.
It's never okay to put your hands on a woman. It's never okay to put your hands on a woman. You walk, away,
blood,
you do whatever, but you never put your hands on a woman. You just don't do it.
You don't put your hands on anyone.
Right.
Well, see, that's just the thing. If you don't put your hands on somebody, they ain't going to put their hands on you. In other words, you don't touch me, I don't touch you.
Amen.
But if you put your hands on me, then we get ready to fight.
No.
If you put your hands on me, you just violated that whole contract?
No.
See? Hey, listen.
Well, didn't she throw his keys to his Lamborghini? Didn't she throw them in the bushes or something, too? And again, I'm not justifying anybody putting anybody's hands on anyone. But unless we were there to know what actually happened, I think, you know, she knows what buttons to push with him, and he knows what buttons to push with her, and the whole thing just escalated and got completely out of hand. Because I don't know if anybody was really even aware of it, but after all of that, you know, all of that stuff came out about what happened to her, she was still secretly seeing him.
Yeah, she sure was.
She was
still secretly seeing him.
That's another part of that, too. See, that crazy love. Crazy love is good, but you got to learn. I learned the hard way. You got to learn when to get in and when to get out. You can't stay too long, because sometimes it gets too crazy.
That's why when I started off, the first thing I said was, I'm using Chris Brown version, so don't nobody be mad at me. I'm using the version that Chris Brown said. So again, he said she hit him, she scratched him, and he driving while this is going on. Now, and more importantly, he said this ain't like they first time they got into some shit like that. This ain't the first time.
I wasn't there, but I'm pretty sure it probably went down like this. He driving, his phone chimed. It was another female texting him or something like that, and she got the phone and read it, and she started pouting and playing that little game and hitting on him, and she got a couple of licks in. He let it go the first time, but she kept going. She crossed that line, and that demon bitch got in her, and he realized he had to do an exorcism, so he pulled over to the side of the road, and he beat her ass. Nothing wrong with that.
But listen, but what I got... I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'm pretty sure when he was hitting her, he was probably saying something like, "The power of Christ compels you."
Oh my God.
He was going to get that demon bitch up out of her.
This guy is too much.
Hey,
you know, again, you know, I'm sure everybody saw pictures of her face. And those bruises were pretty. They were pretty. It was, you know, that was. Yeah, he really let loose on her.
They was talking on an interview. This is back from 2009. And Rihanna told the interviewer, Rihanna told her that it takes 8 or 9 incidents of domestic violence before one leaves an abusive relationship. And let me tell you something. As crazy as that might sound, because again, if you're not in a domestically violent relationship, the natural response is, shit, he hit me one time, I'm out. But relationships, that's not the answer you get. He hit me one time, then he apologized that he won't do it again. And then the second time he hit me, it was okay because it wasn't as hard as the first time. And again, you find yourself in a real vicious cycle.
And you start making excuses. You start making excuses for him. But he has a pattern of being abusive. He abused his girlfriend, Carucci, the other girl that he was dating after her. So he has a pattern of that. So he clearly has a problem. He got an anger. I think he had to go to some anger management.
Yeah, he sure did.
He has a problem.
But see, that all depends. What he needs to do, in my opinion, is he needs to find him a girl that can take an ass whipping just as good as she can give one. All about the makeup sex too.
Really?
She didn't leave, did she? She came back.
So she came back, didn't she? But Chris B, somebody knew.
She was still sneaking around with him behind. She was doing it on a DL, but yeah, she was.
How many women go out there and get a restraining order? How many women get a restraining order but turn around and let that guy back in?
Again, that's that crazy thing called love. But Chris meets somebody new. He should say, "Hey, my name is Chris. My name is Chris Brown. I could dance. I could sing. Oh, by the way, how good can you take a left hook?
There you go.
I'm gonna buy you some nice shit, but I'm just saying, if I hit you, you bruise up easy, or you gonna call the cops on me? That's part of it.
See, some people have a funny way of doing foreplay. That was their foreplay. You got some women out there. They ain't happy unless, like a pimp. That hoe ain't happy unless that pimp beating her to show her love.
Hey, but how many of us have seen ladies and guys out there and we said to ourselves, they need their ass whipped? How many of us have seen guys and girls and guys out there?
Yeah.
How many times have we seen somebody out there, maybe what they had on or something, and we said to ourselves, they need their ass whipped? How many of them has it been?
A lot.
Nobody else ain't seen nobody out there?
So that's what we're doing now?
I mean, I just can't condone no man putting his hands on no woman. I'm just sorry. I can't do it. I just can't. So.
But see, when you accept that first ass whipping, that lets that man know, or that woman, whoever's doing the beating, that it's okay. This is going to be our foreplay. We going to fight maybe to 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. Then we going to do it. You know what I'm saying? Then we just going to go on about our life. That's some people's way of
foreplay. Because even if a woman hits you, her hit cannot compare to the hit of a man. If she punches you, that punch does not compare to the punch that a man will give to her. There's just no comparison between the two. That's why most women pick up something. They pick up something to hit him with because they know their hit is not going to compare to what he get the hit he's going to give you. So they pick up something.
Listen, sometimes you got to get a pencil, a ruler, and a calculator, and you got to figure that shit out before you make that move.
Oh, wow. Wow. I can't with him. I can't condone it. I'm sorry, guys. I can't.
There's gonna be some retribution. You gotta think.
He says you gotta figure that shit out as you go. But hey, nobody should have to deal with that kind of shit. Hey, real quick. Again, we went kind of long on that, but real quick, I just want to get a quick survey from the panel. On what's your feelings on this re-election down in Alabama and Georgia? I mean, Florida and Georgia.
The recount.
Well, I think the machines in Florida they overheated and broke down. That's because they're very old. I mean, they're still in the process of counting every ballot, you know. But I think they had a little technical difficulties yesterday because the machines had overheated. In one of those counties, Palm Beach County, I think it was, they overheated. And so they had to manually count them. And it was like 175,000 that had to be counted.
They got tired of the bullshit.
Well, you know, in both of those states, they just think it's a foregone conclusion that we just stand Republican. So we don't need no stinking machines. We don't need no stinking ballots. We don't need none of that. But from all the polls that I look at, and I haven't really been looking at any polls on Fox News Network, Gillum and the sister look like they're going to be declared winners down there. That's
when
the post office.
It was definitely a blue wave.
Here's the thing, though.
It was a blue wave.
They're trying to run roughshod like George Bush did and just declare themselves the winner.
Yeah, that's how my man down in Georgia doing. I mean, but listen, though. I mean, how you gonna be in a campaign and you the head of the election committee and nobody's stepping in right now saying anything about that? That's not even an issue that I hear talking about, that people talk about on a wide base. Hey, until this election is over, somebody else got to do that job. You cannot do that job, man.
Right. And that's why Stacey's doing what she's doing. She's going to the courts about that. And she definitely has for that very reason, because he shouldn't be overseeing
it. If she just lay down and take it, then it would go away. But she's not laying down, it's not going away. And she's making the news, keeping the news.
Sister Abrams got to hang out with Oprah, nigga. You know what I'm saying? She got to hang out with Oprah. Oprah don't usually associate with losers, man. So if you got Oprah Winfrey out there knocking on doors for you, come on, man. I mean, again, I think it's gonna come through real nice for her. But shit, I know one thing, man. If Oprah Winfrey knocked on my door and asked me to vote for somebody, I'm pretty sure I'm voting for him, man.
Because the next thing might be you get a car and you get a car and you get a car.
Shall
Oprah be rolling? You get a car and you get a car. All right then.
Just imagine you hold and you knock, somebody knock on your door and you open it and it's Oprah. Now I gotta tell you, if it's me, the first thing coming to my mind is, oh shit, I won the Publishers Clearing House sweepstake. I'm seeing dollar signs, man. And watch this. And when she finally tell me she here trying to get me to vote for somebody, I'm going to be a little let down, man. I'm going to be just a little let down. Because if I open my door and Oprah Winfrey outside my door, Publishers Clearing House is the first thing on my mind. Even though I know she don't even represent that. I'm thinking I don't want some money somewhere. But that's how she roll.
That's how she be giving away stuff. Like she published a clearing house.
Yeah.
And that's how them little girls felt when R. Kelly knocked on their door.
Wow. Yeah, he went there. Wow is right. Wow. Yeah.
Hey. He was going to make them a star.
C-star.
A star. A star, right? Yes.
Oh, man.
Who are you talking about? The TV Oprah? Or the one that came to the store looking like a regular black woman and they wouldn't let her in?
Oh, that was over in Paris,
right? But when they realized what mistake they made, they couldn't kiss her butt fast enough.
No.
They couldn't open the doors fast enough.
What's this? Right. I hate to say it, man.
It was a Hermes store. It was for Hermes bags.
Yeah. But I hate to say it, but it just go back to the show. It don't really make a damn how much money you got in America. If you black, you are always black first and then rich.
Right.
You ain't never just like everybody else. And again, you only get to feel that when you hanging out at that echelon where you over at the store and they don't want to sell you an item. I mean, why? I can't afford it? Or your product isn't made for black people? Hey, but anyway, that looks like we're about to wrap our show up tonight. I think we had a little fun talking about folks who want to come back and shit that people did. But one thing I want to leave the cast with and just know, historically, as black folks, we are some forgiving some son of a guns, man. It don't matter what you do to us as a people. If you come back to us and make us think you kind of sincere, that you sorry, we will forgive that ass, man. We do. And I'm not saying that's a bad trait. I think we should have a little.
It's in our nature. I think it's in our nature.
I'm not saying it's a bad trait, but I think we should trade that in for a little something else sometimes. So, hey, this is co-producer, a.k.a. Petey Green, co-hosting. Co-hosted podcast.
Go ahead, PD.
Say again.
Go ahead, PD.
Yeah, that's it. I'm gonna have to get some clips of Petey and put him in another show. Hey, but as we go off tonight, folks, again, everybody wish my daughter, your niece, happy birthday. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna send her a copy of this podcast. That's her birthday gift from her father. So y'all, happy birthday it up for me, please. Okay.
Happy birthday, Jill.
Happy birthday.
Many more to come, my dear. Many more to come.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey, so let's have a nice evening, and that's it for the show tonight. Good night, Cass.
Good night, everyone.
Much love.
Damn, that shit was quick.
I believe I can fly.
Good night, Messi.